Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. It's a Wednesday morning when I came over here this morning, and I got to tell you, got to be honest with you, it feels a little bit like fall. It even begin to look a little bit like fall. If you notice some of the trees starting to turn already, and I don't know if we're ready for that, but I guess we'll take it as it comes. That's the best thing to do. While you tune me in, by the way, of WION I 1430 AM or 92.7 FM over in the Lower Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome each and every one of you this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, M106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcast stations. We're broadcasting by the way of the web, and that's pretty special. Others tune me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by way of my website. My website is Pastor Ken Harger. Then you take and bring your mouse up over to Lighthouse Messages, and then you click on that, and Current Media will show, and you click on Current Media, and the top one is the one for today. Whatever way you join me this morning, I'm just so glad to have you be a part of our time together. And I'm looking forward to sharing this message with you. This message has to do with an invitation to partnership with God. Going to be speaking about that and different kinds of partnership we have with him, and I'll be speaking about that for the next four Sundays because it is such an important message for this day and age that we are part of. I need to say thank you to those that help with the covering the financial costs of our broadcast. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. A big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area. And a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. And to Shiloh Community Church, where I had the privilege of being pastor for 50 years and enjoyed it all the time. I still attend there. The services start on Saturday night at Shiloh at 6:30. Then Sunday morning, there's a 9 o'clock service, and then there's a contemporary service at 10:45. And also, we have a campus over in Greenville, and that is the corner that's at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that service starts at 11. You'll be welcome there as well. Big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger. We was together this week for a little while at a funeral, and a good thank you to her because she's been so faithful. She tell me she believes it's close to 20 years that she has picked out my music for me, and that's something very, very special. So I'm just thankful for her, and thank you for her sharing her music library with us through all these years, and looking forward to the message this morning. As we do the message this morning, I just want to remind you that we're going to listen to a song to kind of get us started for the message. And this is the price that Jesus was willing to pay in order to be able to do for us all the things he wants to do for us. It's called All the Way. Jesus went all the way. This one Bible verse that I like about the Lord Jesus, it said he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He was despising the shame that was all involved with that, but he's looking beyond the death of the cross to the resurrection, and to what the resurrection was going to be able to produce for each and every one of us. So as we listen to this song, it's just reminding us of the price that the Lord Jesus paid in order that we might be able to have the freedoms that he gives to us through Christ. So we'll sit back and enjoy it, and I'll be right back in just a few moments.
God searched for a limit his love. What should he keep and what should he give up to pay sin's awful price for such a worthless one as I, to
rescue me, just how far would he go?
All the way.
That city he's prepared. When I arrive, I'll know who placed me there. For my efforts fall so short of the glory of the Lord. He knew they would, so he came on.
Well, that's a good way to get started this morning. Jesus came all the way from heaven, folks. He came all the way from heaven, giving up all the things that he gave up, and came into this world being born a baby to become one of us. And we realize he went all the way when he went through the cross of Calvary. And one of the reasons he did that, the song is saying, because he wants to take you all the way home to heaven. And that's pretty special when you think of the price that he was willing to pay to be able to do that for each one of us. You see, it's really a lot about this idea of a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and a relationship that causes us to want a partnership with God and do the things that God would have us to do, and do it with God, and do it along the way as we join one another in a work that we could do for the kingdom of heaven. Well, we'll talk about that just in a few moments, but right now, I want to remember the listening audience in prayer. You're the reason I'm over here to the Lighthouse. I need to tell you, just now as I got over here and got sat down, got started with the radio program, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 swan that just swam up here, and they kind of parked themselves and looks like they're doing a little looking for food. So that's pretty exciting as I can look out and see these beautiful swan that are here. And I'm thankful for you joining me as I share the message with you. So let's bow together. Dear Father, what a privilege we have to come right into your presence. Jesus paid the price for that too, because when he died upon the cross, the veil was rent, signifying that we could come right into the presence of God Almighty himself. And the Lord Jesus taught that when he was here, that we have the privilege of going to the Heavenly Father and asking for his blessing and his guidance. Father, this morning as I come to you, I'm thinking of the listening audience. And I'm asking your special blessing to be upon each one that has tuned me in at this time. May you meet the need of their individual life, first of all. And may you meet the need of their family life, according to your will. Father, every week it seems like there's so many things that we end up going through in a period of time of 7 days. And so since last we gathered together, I know there's been difficulties in people's lives and there's been blessing in people's life. There's been some things that's brought them great joy and happiness. But there's also been some things that's brought him great sadness and sorrow. So I ask your special blessing to be upon each one that's tuned me in this morning, and would you meet their every need according to your will. Father, I also like to remember the unspoken request. So somebody in my listening audience this morning has an unspoken request right now. Father, they're focusing on what their need is. You know what that need is, and you're able to meet that need. So right now, I want to pray for all of those that may have an unspoken request this morning, that you would be pleased to minister to that need and meet them at the point of that need. And dear Father, would you give them some sense of direction? Now, dear Father, come and speak to us through your word. Your word is a lamp unto our path, a light unto our way, and we need direction from you in this day and age that we're a part of life. So come and speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, what a privilege it is to think of partnershiping with God. You know, I've done a lot of things through my life where I partnershiped with other people. I can remember even way back in working in the muck fields. It was a partnership for the owner and myself to do what I needed to do to help him be successful. At the same time, we had a partnership. My family all worked together in that at first. So we had not only that we were living together as a family, but we were working together. Worked with my mom for many years as she worked in the muck fields as well. So there's a special blessing even all the way back there. And then I got to tell you, folks, pastoring Shiloh Community Church for 50 years, I partnered with so many people along with God to build the unit that we have there to be used for God's honor and glory, and to touch the lives of the people that we've touched through the years. And it's been something very special. And it wasn't just something that I did. It was working together with God, and it was working together with one another. But what I want to think about today, this morning, is there is a question that Jesus asked one day through a story that he told. And he asked this question, why are you idle? Why are you idle? He was going to tell us about what the kingdom of God is like. And it tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. And about the 11th hour, this here landowner went out and he found other workers standing idle. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go work in my vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So there's a landowner, he'd been out there many different times. We'll get into that the rest of this message a little later. But this is when he came out at the 11th hour. 11th hour meant there was only one more hour to work. And he hired some of these people that had been standing around there, idle all day. We need to think about the danger of being idle. It's so good to be busy. So good to have things to do. So good when you have things to do that helps other people. When we look at the danger of being idle from God's word, he speaks of idle hands. In the book of Ecclesiastes 10:18, he says, a roof sags because of laziness. A house leaks because of idle hands. God connects idle hands to laziness. And that's something that we can't really have in our life and feel successful. We need to get up and we need to get going. Matter of fact, in the Bible, it says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, that makes a pretty serious business. And so we realize that God is saying to us, don't be idle. Idle hands. It causes the house to go downhill. You know, to own a home, I believe, is a wonderful thing. But to own a home, it means there's certain things we have to do to maintain the home. I have a cabin up at Kalkaska area. We've had it for 30 years, and about every 5 years, these last 20 years or so, I'd put on another coat of stain-like stuff to protect the wood and to make it always look nice. One of the couples from the church wanted something to do, so they went up to my cabin and they put a coat of stain on it for me, or that finishing stuff. You know, I'm just anxious to get up there and see what it looks like, because I've done that different times myself, but this time I just knew I wasn't able to do it. And this couple did it for us, and that's something very special, and I'm thankful for that. But you know what, folks? If you don't do those little things around the house, pretty soon, he says, the roof begins to sag. And then pretty soon, he says, water's coming in the house, and that's not a good thing. So he's saying, get going on that. Again, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, verse 35, a good man went out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that for every idle word men may speak, they'll give account one day of the day of judgment. So God's saying, you know what? Idle work, that's idle words, that's just talking to talk. It's just saying something, we're not saying anything. And he said, you know what? One of these days, folks, he said, you're going to be judged for your idle words. You know why God says that? Because he wants us to use our words to build up one another. He wants us to be, as we go through our life, an encouragement to one another. Let me give you one more that was later spoken of in the Word of God in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. For we hear that some of you walk in idleness and are busy at work, but being busybodies. Now such person we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. You can't put it much plainer than that. You know, if you're not busy doing some things, it's going to help one another and help yourself. He's saying you get involved in other people's business and you become a busybody. I've always loved a saying, which has been a part of my life for many years, when all is said and done, there'll be a whole lot more said than done. Can I do that again? When all is said and done, there'll be a whole lot more said than done. We talk about it, we talk about it, we talk about it. And God's saying, now it's time to get some action. I believe God's cure for being idle on planet Earth is to find something to do and then to do it with all of your heart. I believe there's satisfaction in being able to be busy. At 85, sometimes I don't want to be as busy as I am. But at 85, I got to tell you, folks, I just don't want to sit around. I got to tell you, folks, it's easy to listen to a football game on TV or to do some of those kinds of things. But I got to tell you, I don't want to do that all day long. I don't want to become a couch potato, because we need to realize we need to be doing the things that the Lord would have. My favorite verse for being busy for the kingdom of God is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. There is no work or device in the knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. He says, sometime the work will be done. I love the challenge to give thanks to God for the things that we do. It's given to us in the book of Colossians when it says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. I thank him many, many times that I have the privilege of still being able to do. I got to tell you, folks, I visited those that are laid aside in the nursing homes, those whose minds do not work well and they can't even know who they are and where they are. And I got to tell you, when you have a clearness of mind and you have some energy in your body, even if it's not what it used to be, I'd say it's a good thing to get busy with God, to partnership up with him and to find some things that you can do. Well, let's go back to our story about this landowner coming out, and Jesus is using this to teach us what the kingdom of God is like. Once Jesus said in Matthew 20, in verse 1, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at the daybreak to hire workers for his vineyard. He likened the kingdom of God to being a grape farmer, needing to have workers to do work in the vineyard that needed to be done. So this would be some physical work to help the landowner be successful. And it's recorded for us in the book of Matthew when it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. When a man discovered it, he buried it again. And he was so delighted with what he did that he went away and he sold everything he had and he bought that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who was searching for a very fine pearl. And when he found a valuable pearl, he went away and sold everything that he had that he might buy that fancy pearl. You know what God's saying about his kingdom and the work we're doing for him? And he's out in the vineyard he's out in the public wanting us to get involved in that work. He says, you know what? This kingdom of heaven work that you can do for me, Jesus is saying, is work that is valuable. And he tells two illustrations to give us how valuable it is. You know, in years gone by, they always buried money in the fields and buried money just to kind of keep it in that way. But, you know, when we bought our house here at Long Lake, they said, well, there was money buried there, and I've dug different places here at the lake and even have had those metal detectors and so on. And I got to tell you, we haven't found any money buried. But this man went out and he was digging in the field, and all of a sudden there was a whole bunch of money been buried there. In those days, they put it in containers that kept them safe. And so he dug another hole and he buried it in another place where he would know where it was. And then he went out and he bought that field, paid the price for the field and came back and dug it up. You know what he was willing to do, folks? He was willing to sell everything he had in order to buy that field. Then Jesus tells us about this man that was into buying pearls. And he found this one beautiful pearl. And he had lots of pearls and so on, but he went home and he sold all the pearls he had in order to buy this one pearl. I think God is trying to tell us, kingdom of God work when your partnership with him is valuable work. May I say this, folks, because I believe with all my heart. It's a valuable thing when you can do something to help somebody else. When you can be either say something or do something, that's going to be a special way. And sometimes people say, well, I can't do that. I can't get involved in those kinds of things. Almost every funeral that I do, sometime through the funeral, I tell them, be a people person. Be a people person. People will love you and care for you. You know what one of my favorite sayings is for my older age of life? The older you get, you will need a lot less things, but you will need a lot more people. Jesus one day illustrated that when he said this, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, and someone planted it in a field. It's one of the smallest seeds. However, when it grows, it's taller than the garden plants. It becomes a tree that is large enough for the birds to nest in its branches. He used another illustration. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixes into her flour mixture. And the yeast works through all of the dough that she has. The yeast just goes through all of that dough. Now we need to understand, these are pretty simple illustrations, but they're powerful. Powerful because he's saying, just take a little bit. You know, you should give it your all. But it only takes a little bit. How do you couple that together? It's one of the greatest things you can do, but it only takes a little bit. because God's got a way that he can take the things you do for him and make it be something that is very blessing to many other people. That's like that little mustard seed that's been planted. It is one of the smallest mustard seeds there is. And yet it grows a bush tall enough that the birds can build a nest in it. And I love the idea of yeast. I never understood yeast. I got some things that I really liked that you make with yeast. But you know, the yeast works its way through the entire clump of dough. That's beautiful. It works its way through all of that. And God wants you to know that he works his way through your life. You know, when I was growing up, we had a lot of times what my mom called poor man's gravy. She'd fry some hamburger and then she would take the grease that was left from the frying of the hamburger and the little pieces of meat and so on. And then she'd put flour in there and brown it down a little bit. If we had milk, she would use milk, but she would even use water. And it made some of the best gravy. My mom always called it poor man's gravy. Well, one day when I went deer hunting, she said she got the things around for me. And I was deer hunting with a couple, three other guys, and she sent some flour. But she didn't tell me it was self-rising flour. And I made some potatoes, and I was going to make some gravy. But I got to tell you, you don't use self-rising flour to make poor man's gravy. When I dumped the water in, it became one big solid biscuit. And, you know, we had a good laugh about that. But I've always had that in my mind that God is saying to you and I, whatever you do, do it with all your might. And we realize it only takes a little bit of faith to do it. And whatever you're doing is going to work through everything that you do. No wonder Jesus one day said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. Boy, time's really moving along fast this morning, so I got to speed it up just a little bit. I want to talk about this righteousness that Jesus talks about, and then we'll have a song. But the righteousness that Jesus talks about isn't saying, you know, you don't do this and you don't do that. You do this and you don't do this. He's not saying it's about the things of being bad, things being difficult. You know what? Some people just want to dwell on the sins of life. You know, to him that knoweth to do good, the Bible says, and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. It's just not naughty, bad things. It's causing us to realize that God wants us to realize that we seek his righteousness, and his righteousness has to do with our relationship. I couldn't do it any better than Jesus did it himself. When one day he was by side of a mountain, and there was many hundreds of people sitting around the mountain listening to him, the mountain became his PA system. And then Jesus said to the crowds, as he went up into the mountain, he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them and the people as well. Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are gentle. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for God's approval. They shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who show mercy. They will be treated merciful. Blessed are those whose thoughts are pure. They will see God. Blessed are those who make peace. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing what God approves of. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because of me, Jesus said. Rejoice and be glad because you have a great reward in heaven. The prophets who lived before you were persecuted in the same ways. You know what Jesus is telling us? His righteousness is a list of actions and reactions of what Jesus calls righteousness. He wants us to seek after this partnership with him in the kingdom of God. And he wants us to realize that we can do this, for Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he tells us that if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, it shall be given unto you. And so then he tells us to seek and you will find. And God is reminding us, everyone who asks can find. These Beatitudes that Jesus talked about are the things he wants us to realize is a kind of righteousness he wants us to have in our life. And then what he wants to do with that, this next song, I really like it. It's been a song that's meant a lot to me through the years of just trying my very best to be a servant. I just think that because Jesus came to serve, if I want to be like Jesus, then I need to serve. And this song says, the servant of all. And God wants us to realize that he wants us to be a servant that is willing to minister to whatever people he sends our way. Oh, here we go. Be right back. Want to be great in God's kingdom, then you got to be the servant of all. That's Jesus came to serve. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And in so doing, he reminds us, that adds a dimension to your life when you team up with the greatest servant there ever was. Let him show you how to do things that can help others. It's going to be a blessing in your life. I need to go back to the story. They went out and they hired all these people. And he went out, it tells us in the book of Matthew, when he went out there early in the morning, they agreed to work for a certain wage. Then he said to him, after they agreed to work for what wage, what a day's wage was like, they went back and started working early in the morning. Then it tells us about 9 o'clock in the morning, he came back out to the marketplace. And there was other people there without the work, and he told them, go work in my vineyard, and I'll give you what is right. Then he went back out about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he said the same thing to some people that needed to work there. Go work in my vineyard, and I'll give you what is right. Then about 5 o'clock, 1 hour before they was going to quit, he saw some others standing around, and he asked them the question, why are you idle all day? Go work in my vineyard, and I'll give you what is right. The first-time workers, they went to work at daybreak, but they agreed on a wage. And you know, some of the first-time workers for the kingdom of God, I believe, are spoken about in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those people of the Old Testament. There's a whole list of them in Hebrews chapter 11. Of these workers that worked for the kingdom of God, and they were some of the very first workers. And they worked without a lot of the conveniences that you and I have today. But they're listed in the Hall of Fame, so to speak, of faith, in the book of Hebrews for their work. Then I believe the next workers that came along the way was when Jesus was born into this world, such as Mary and Joseph, such as the shepherds that were involved in the kingdom of God, such as the wise men. And then as Jesus began his ministry, because Mary and Joseph were good raising him up, and then they were part of that ministry that Jesus was going to be a part of because they were co-workers with him. And then Jesus was walking along the beach one day of the Sea of Galilee, and he called fishermen, come follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They're the ones that were hired a little early, a little later in the day. And then there came along also other disciples. And then through the ministry of the Lord Jesus, there's some more that came into the idea of faith in Christ. The ones that were healed by whatever disease they were having problems with. And then they followed Jesus. Those are the workers that were hired at different times in the kingdom of God. And then Apostle Paul says one time, about him, he said, I was the least of all to be, because I was born in an untimely time. I didn't know about this one Jesus until after he's resurrected, and I was trying to destroy what he came to do. I persecuted the church. But God spoke to him, and he says, I was born out of due time. And he's one of the later workers that was hired as well. You know, I think each one of these workers paid a part in the kingdom of God. But you know what I need to have you understand? God's kingdom been going all that time. And God speaks more about his kingdom now as the idea in the last part of his kingdom. I believe you and I as Christians today are in the last part of his kingdom. And we come to be a part of that, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us. And when he saved us, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But he goes on to say, to you and I today, we are his workmanship. You and I have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we're the ones that was hired at the last part of the day. We're the ones that's hired as far as is concerned in God's kingdom is in the 11th hour, because he tells us that's where his kingdom is in. The next thing that's going to happen in the kingdom of God is going to be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to take us to be with him. And so he says, you need to be busy working at this period of time. There's many times in the Bible and the New Testament where God is saying to the church of Christ today, it's time to wake up. It's time to get busy, kind of get involved doing things. I've came to serve, and now I've called you to serve, and we need to be busy doing that. It's not this idea that we sit back and just relax and take it easy. We've got many more things at our disposal than we've ever had. I recently got a new computer. Took me a while to get everything transferred from the old computer. But can I tell you something now? That has made my work so much better. In this modern day, things go so much faster. This new computer, my old one, is about 10 years old. And this new one goes so much faster, and some of it just clicks from one thing to another. And I love it. It's been helping me tremendously to do the job that I need to do. And I need to remind you that God is telling us that we need to be busy about his kingdom. We need to be busy doing what he wants us to do. And here's the bottom line. The bottom line is one of these days, God's going to give a reward. One of these days is going to be payday for the things you did for God. That's what God tells us about this illustration that he's teaching about the kingdom of God and the landowner. The landowner went out early in the morning. He hired some people, and they went to work, and they worked all day long. He went out again at 9 o'clock. He went out again at 3 o'clock. And he went out again at 5 o'clock, and he hired workers. Some had been working for the 12 hours, so to speak. Others had been working for just a few hours. And one group of them only worked about an hour. And then when evening was come, the owner of the vineyard told the supervisor, call the workers and give them their wages. Start with the last and end with the first. I love the way he did that. Start with the last, the ones that's only working for 1 hour, and end up with the first ones hired. Those who started working about 5 o'clock came and expected to came and each received a day's wages. When those who had been hired, whatever time they came, when they'd been hired, they each received a day's wages. And when those that had been hired first came, they expected to receive more. But each of them received a day's wages. Although they took it, they began to protest to the owner. They said, the last workers have worked only 1 hour, yet you have treated us all the same, even though we worked hard all day in the blazing sun. I love that. We worked so hard. The owner said to one of them, friend, I'm not treating you unfairly. Didn't you agree with me on a day's wages? Take your money and go. If I want to give the last worker as much as I gave you, can't I do what I want to do with my own money? Or do you resent my generosity towards others? In this way, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Don't you judge me, Jesus, this landowner is saying. Can I be honest with you? I understand the feelings of those that work hard all day under the blazing sun. And at the end of the day, they worked, others worked only 1 hour, and they all received the same wage they got for working all day. They only worked 1 hour. Jesus is teaching that the kingdom of God, workers will be rewarded by different mindset than the human mindset. They'll be rewarded like the landowner was doing according to how God wants to reward them. And each one, and I love what the landowner said, can't I do what I want to do with my money? And can't Jesus do what he wants to do with his rewards? If he blesses somebody different than you, doesn't God have the right to do that? Do we expect to be all treated exactly the same way? Do you resent my generosity towards others? In this way, the last will be first, and the first will be last. May I say to you, dear people, the ones that worked all day, even though they agreed with what the wage would be, accused the landowner of not being fair when he gave those who waited all day for someone to hire them. He gave them the same wage. Can I share from my heart to you? I believe it would be a lot easier working all day than it would be standing around waiting for somebody to hire you all day. And by the way, don't you understand that both of them, a day of their life was used up? A day of your life worked and doing the things that you agreed to do and doing the things that you're going to get paid for. But a day just standing around, just waiting to be hired. Haven't you learned this yet? Being in a waiting room is a hard place. Time goes a lot slower in a waiting room. I got to tell you, any job that I've ever had, when you're busy, time goes by so much faster. And I believe it was good that the landowner gave them a full day's pay. But fair treatment does not mean equal treatment, because each of us have different experiences and different backgrounds and different needs. But a day was spent by both of them waiting to be hired and working. And I guess just in my thinking, I believe I would be much better in my thinking of life if you and I realized the waiting is a lot harder than the working. I say this often because I find it to be true. Some people work harder to keep from working than it would be if you just went to work. We work harder. I believe God's reward is something that he wants us to understand. And I don't believe the reward is just something that God gives to us when we partnership with him at the end of our life. I believe God's reward comes when you can have the satisfaction that you did something that helps somebody else. When you, working for God, get something that lifts the load of someone else is very special. I love this verse that says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I think we need to realize that's something that can be a very big part of each one of our lives. Just enjoying doing what you do. And when you enjoy doing what you do a better job at it than you would if you hated doing what you're going to do. I got to close the service here in just a few minutes. And so I want to share one more thought of how Jesus said to do this. And you know, because sometimes we think it's really something that is very big and important and needs to be done. And you know, really, it's just the small things. I do a lot of funerals. And you know what? The memories that the people share with me are not memories of big things. Just the memories of everyday life. And that's what you're going to miss with those that are your loved ones as they go on. It's just the simple memories of everyday life. So let's take a look at this for just a few moments of something that Jesus said about serving him was doing for others. And then the idea of failing to do for others, you fail to do it for Jesus. Jesus is saying what you do for others, you're doing for me. Listen to what it says in Matthew 20. Jesus called all of all followers together and he said, you know that the rulers of the non-Jewish people love to show their power over people. And their important leadership love to use all their authority. But it should not be that way among you as a believer. If one of you wants to become great, he must be the servant of the rest of you like a servant. If one of you wants to be the first, he must serve the rest of you as a slave. So it is with the Son of Man. The Son of Man did not come for other people to serve him. He came to serve others. The Son of Man came to give his life so that it would benefit many people. I believe Jesus is saying, you know what? You can do this. And you can do it and have enjoyment in your heart and life as you do it, if you do it in the way that I'm saying. So here's something he said in Matthew 25. It's near the end of his life. I was hungry, Jesus said, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home, and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me some to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the people say to Jesus, Lord, when did we see you hungry or give you food? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to eat? When did we do all of this? He said. And he said, as much as you've done it to one of these, the least of mine, you have done it unto me. That's beautiful, folks. God's saying when you help somebody else, it's like helping Jesus. Jesus wants to help them, and he's using you and I to be that assistance. He went on to say to some others, he said, you know what? I was hungry and you didn't give me food. I was thirsty and you didn't give me water. I was sick and you didn't visit me. They say, when did we see you that? Jesus said to them, inasmuch as you didn't do it to one of the least of mine, you didn't do it for me. I believe God wants us to understand we have the privilege of serving him in that way. And I think he's saying to you, no, whatever knowledge you have, whatever gift you have as an individual, you need to realize that you need to use that to bring honor and to bring glory to God. Here we go, folks, for the closing song. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Have a good week.
Serve him, we will serve him, for him.